to start.
Holding on. Okay, we're holding on the valid. We're holding on the valid on the bay at the sixth line. So yeah, to recap, we started with the statement of Shmuel that a person has a mashkin for a loan. If the mashkin is low, it's lost, then the loan is gone. And then we talked about we had Ramachman variation on that, and Al-Joy's variation on that. And then we said to relate it to the mission, we said there might be a difference whether we specified that it's going to be that way or not. You have a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos that we discussed what the proper girsa is. Then we tried to say, then we tried to equate that with machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Eliezer says that you just swear that the mashkin was lost and the malva collect your money. Rabbi Akiva had said that no, once the mashkin is lost, the loan is lost. So that seems to be like Shmuel. So we said that no,
not necessarily, because it could be that they're arguing about the point, whether the Balchoid actually acquired the mashkin. And by the way, when we were talking about acquiring it,
I didn't have a chance to mention yesterday. I mean, we discussed what exactly, to what extent he acquires it, to what extent he becomes a shomer on it, et cetera. But he is, even if it's considered his, even to the extent that he can be Makadish a woman with it, which is usually the acid test of whether something is considered yours. So he can't sell it necessarily, but he can give it to her as
Kiddush. He's Makadish and he cannot sell it.
Because you can't sell it to a third party, because still the guy's expecting it back. But if he's Makadish and his future wife with it, then fine, it'll still remain eventually in his possession. But yeah. So
we said, therefore, that machlokes might depend on that. Then we said machlokes might depend rather on the different question, when a person is a shomer
for a lost object, or in this case, where it be cotton, is he a shomer chinam or a shomer safar? So then we left it that if...
Even if we say that wouldn't exist. Well, then we said
shomer safar, shomer chinam.
Whether
it's Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, might hold he's a Shem Chinam. So therefore, he doesn't have much responsibility. So therefore, if he loses the mashkin, all he has to do is swear that it was lost and it's not in his possession, etc., and he can still collect his whole debt. Whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold that you subtract from the debt the amount of the thing, since as a Shem Asacher, he's obligated to pay for it.
But wait, lost object.
You mean lost, as in
lost. No,
misplaced
is already an accident.
You're not talking about
the
switch to Aveda.
No. We use Aveda as we assume that it's the same. That it's the same thing. So then the Gemara ends up saying that actually no, with an Aveda, everybody would agree that he's a that even both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva might agree that he's a Shem Asacher. But over here,
with an Aveda,
because of Prutah de Rabbi Yosef, because he's potter from giving tzedakah at the time while he's watching the Aveda. But over here, with Pekadon, where he needs, not Pekadon, where Mashkin, rather.
But then there are Tekanas HaShavim.
Tekanas HaShavim is something else. That has nothing to do. What does Tekanas HaShavim have to do?
Tekanas HaShavim is that person stole something, they're not tear down the whole building.
Oh, you're right. Down together.
What's the Tekana that you don't have? That makes it easier to return Aveda.
Meshav Aveda. That we don't make him swear that there was more Aveda than he lost, than he found. Okay, anyway, we ended up saying...
Oh, yes. So he's still a Shem of Sakhir on the Aveda,
but we could argue that the Mashkin might be using the Mashkin.
Meanwhile, he's using the Mashkin as time and deducting from the loan as time goes on. That might not be considered such a mitzvah, and therefore he might only be a Shem of Chinam, as opposed to if we say that he's still doing a mitzvah, he'd be a Shem of Sakhir. Okay, so now we're going to continue on that.
That was the end of the discussion. So now, Leibach Katanah, so now should we say that Shmuel's statement, fine, it doesn't relate to the Machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva that we mentioned before, but maybe it relates to a different Machlokes.
If somebody lends money,
it doesn't relate
because we just said that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer may not, neither of them may agree with Shmuel. Their machlokas may be on other considerations.
Okay, maybe.
But yeah, well, we have no reason to say that Shmuel's statement is subscribed to by either of those Tanoim. But can we say that one of the following Tanoim will agree to it? Namely, we learn in a Braisa, Hamalves Chaver Al Mashkin. If somebody lends money to somebody else with a Mashkin, V'nichnas HaShmita, and then Shmita comes, is the loan canceled or not? Even if the mashkin
is only worth half of what the loan is worth, it's not canceled by Shemitah. At this point, we don't know whether he means that it doesn't cancel yet.
That's why this is where Shemitah comes
in. Yeah, yeah. Incidentally, just like you said, the Nishmat of Shemitah, the called in Yisrael Gemara, which is taken from the Rosh, that even though we say in the Mishnah and in the Gemara,
in the halachas of Shemitah's Ksopim, that Shemitah's Ksopim only takes effect at the end of the Shemitah year, the Rosh holds, that's true. However, he says
based on the psukim, from the beginning of the year already, you're not allowed to demand the repayment of the debt. So it's kind of in suspension during that year, and then it gets completely canceled at the end of Shemitah, obviously, unless they make a prosbul, which is why the Alter Rebbe says it's good to make a prosbul before Shemitah, as well as at the end of it, and that's why our minhag is indeed to do that.
To be able to claim it.
To be able to claim it, and in order to be able to later on collect it. Okay. So anyway, so that's the fact that the mission, the fact that the
bride can use the expression of the nishmas of Shemitah fits well with that, idea. Okay. Anyway, so the Shimon of Shimon Gamliel. So Shimon Gamliel would say, even if the mashkin is only worth half as much as the loan, it doesn't cancel at all. Now,
do we mean that it doesn't cancel at all, or do we mean that the half that's not covered by the mashkin can get canceled? In other words, the loan was 1,000, the mashkin was 500. Do we mean, or let's say here, so that we don't get mixed up, the mashkin was, let's say, 400. Are we saying that none of the loan gets canceled? Or are we saying the 400 that's represented by the mashkin is not lost, but the other 600 is? Without a prosbul, that is.
We'll see that soon. The 400 is canceled. No, the 400 will not be canceled because you have a mashkin for it. But maybe there's... Oh,
then it's not Meshamet, Vim Lav Meshamet, then if not, then it is cancelled by Shemitah. Now we have to ask, my Aina Meshamet to come with Tanakama.
In Tanakama, meaning Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he says Aina Meshamet, when he says that's not cancelled, what does he mean? Elema Kinegdoi, does he mean that only the part corresponded to by the Mashkin,
so let's say in our scenario, the 400, because the Mashkin was worth 400, is not cancelled? So what does that mean? But the other 600 is Miklal the Rav Yehuda Anasi Stava Kenegdi Nami Mishamet. Would that then what would you have to say? Then the Rav Yehuda Anasi would have to say the whole thing, the entire 1,000 is lost. Why? You have a mashkin on board of it. That part should definitely be safe. Ella Amai Tophis Mashkin. Yeah, because
another opinion. So
yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. Ella Amai Tophis Mashkin. According to Rav Yehuda Anasi, why Miklal? Do you have a mashkin? What is it accomplishing? Ella Lav Kenegdi Kulay. Obviously, what Rav Shimon Gamliel must mean is that none of the loan is canceled.
Therefore, the Shmuel is about do we accept Shmuel's principle that we say that where Shmuel has said again that whatever that once the mashkin is gone and the loan is gone, so
Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that.
Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that even if the mashkin is worth far less than the loan, nevertheless the mashkin corresponds to the entire loan.
Therefore, we would be so now in Shmuel's original case would be a chumrah on the malveh. If he loses that axe handle, then he lost the whole chayv. Here, if we apply that to Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, it would come out of kula for him. He has a cheap mashkin representing a large loan.
Nevertheless, none of the loan is canceled. So the
mashkin represents the entire loan. Whereas Rav Yehuda Anasi would be saying that, no, it only represents its actual value. Is it whatever it's worth? Yeah. So then in that case, Rav Shimon Gamliel would be agreeing with Shmuel.
This is low. No, after all, you could say that Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he says that it's not Meshamet, he means that he means
only the part corresponding to the Mashkin.
Rav Yehuda Anasi saw the connected now in Meshamet. Then Rav Yehuda Anasi, since he's obviously arguing, would of necessity have to be saying that he means the entire law is canceled. So then the question is, if Tam and Lamai talk this way, do you ask, well, then why would according to Rav Yehuda Anasi, what's the point of having a Mashkin in the first place? It's going to cancel that shit anyway.
So you're arguing, why is he bothering having a mashkin in the first place? The answer is, the current Dvarim Ba'alma, he's doing it. He's not doing it in order to actually be able to collect from it. He's doing it as a remembrance that this way the other guy will remember and not be able to deny that he actually lent him the money. But nevertheless, it still could be canceled by Shmita. But we don't have to say that either one of them holds like Shmuel that when the that the mashkin actually corresponds to the entire loan. Right. So in the end, we say again, like I said before, most of the poskim do not paskin like Shmuel. So even right. So even if they stipulated, we would still say that it's an asmata. And if they didn't stipulate, then of course there's nothing to talk about. As far as the shmita business, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. However, there is a machlokas rishonim.
Whether in the end, which one of the understandings of the Gemara in the end are the same over here? Are we saying that it's not Meshamet at all, or are we saying that it's Meshamet whatever is not covered by the Mashkin?
You have a machlokas rishonim on that point.
Practically speaking, you make a proposal at the moot point.
What about if you do it in the beginning and the other guy says they hold at the end?
Doesn't matter, you make a prosbul at the beginning and at the end. Okay, Hadron Alok Shavuot Adayot. Okay, so now in the previous parak, we talked mostly about Shavuos that you're required Minat Torah. Again, you have three cases in Minat Torah where you're required to swear in Beis Din, one where you're Moedim Mikta, one where you're Kofar Hakol, where you have any kind of claim that there's one aid against you, and one where you're a Shomer.
And you confirm. And the third one is a
Shomer, who claims
that there's...
He's a Shomer Chinam, and he claims the thing was lost. He's a Shomer Sachar, and claims there was an Ones, whatever.
So are, three cases?
Those were the only three cases in Atoga. Now in our, and all three of those, as the mission is going to start by telling us, all three of those, the one who's being sued
in Beis Din is the one who's swear, in order to be possible and pay. Now we're going to start, now our parish has been talking about various cases. Yes. Well, we said they're right, the ones you don't see the other one, but we said before. But our parish is going to talk about Shavuot
Dirabon.
What
happened?
Then that's it, he has to pay. Our parak is going to talk about a number of Shavuos Dirabanan where we have a situation where a person is able to swear and on the basis of his Shavua is able to collect from the other party. So not the defendant is swearing, but rather the plaintiff.
Okay. So the Mishnah says, Kol Shavuos Matoreh Shavuos Dirabanan, in any case where a person is swearing on a total level,
then they collect in order not to pay. The Eilun Shavuos Dirabanan, the following people
swear and they use that Shavua then to collect. You have five cases. Stop here. All these five cases, we're going to deal with in our Mishnah and in the following line.
A sachir, a hired worker,
somebody who was robbed, somebody who was injured, the case where the opposite party is suspect of swearing falsely. So we have a case where the other person would have been chayav shvua, but because he can't swear it, instead he flip it around and
put it on him, and then he's able to collect.
Rashi says that even we're talking about a shvua daraisa, because that we talked the other day, we said that he can't flip around a shvua daraisa.
We said there were different opinions on it. We had Ma'abar of Ashi saying that you can daraisa. The Tosfos discussed over there the question, is the halacha like Ma'abar of Ashi or not? Apparently, Rashi over here learns that it is, because Rashi mentions over here that it could be a case where, for example, he's chayav by moedim mikdas, and then you flip
so
around
you
the shore. According to Ma'abar of Rashi, you can flip it. The halacha is not like him. So therefore, we'll be talking other cases where normally the Tevea should be swearing and be potter, and instead we're flipping around the Shavua and having the Nitzah swear and collect on that basis. So that's the fourth case. The Chen Veni Alpin Kosei, and the fifth case
is a schoolkeeper with his record book. We'll see later in
the Tosfos, by the way, points out there are other cases.
There are other cases where you have people set up on and you're able to collect. The reason why it's only listed in these five is because in these five specifically, you can't have the other party wouldn't be able to swear. The software, for example, the hired worker, as we're going to say in the Gemara, the
employer is doesn't necessarily know clearly whether he paid this guy or not because he's busy with his other workers and with his business affairs and whatever. So therefore, it has to be there for this guy. So therefore, if it hadn't been for the Takana, the guy wouldn't get anything. Like this, we make a takana that the socher, that the hired worker who wants to collect,
is going to swear. Whereas other cases, the point that Tosfos is making, other cases, for example, you have a case, we're going to learn later in our mission, for example,
that a woman who claims that she was paid part of her ksuba already, we make her swear in order to collect the rest. Fine, but we could have just as well had the other party swear that they already paid off the whole thing.
But that's not, what we're listing over here are the ones where, if it weren't for the takana, there wouldn't be any other report.
So, for the Sachi, if there's proof of payment.
We'll get to, wait.
Relax, we'll be in the mission, we'll be in the one.
Okay, a Sachi case. What is the case of the hired worker? If the worker says to the boss, give me my payment, which I have in your possession, in other words, that you owe me, the boss says I paid, and the worker says I didn't receive anything. So in that case, he swears, the worker swears, and he can collect his pay. Subject to the conditions that we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not always, it's not a given that because the worker claims, therefore he can swear. It has to be achatesha mikta tzedar. It has to be that there's a partial admission. In other words, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying basically is I don't believe, he says, that the Chachamim made a sakana that you should swear in a case like this where the other guy is kofer hakol, where you're going to say that not only that you're doing two things, basically. You're not only saying that there's a shavua in a case of kofer hakol, but you're doing it in the reverse way. Usually you would have the one who's kofer swear and be exempt. Here you're making the other guy swear and collect. It doesn't go that far. Only if it was a case of moedim mikdash, where he would be chayav min haTorah, there what we do is the Chachamim made a sakana that you flip it over to the worker. Ketzad, omalei temli schari chamishim dinner sheyesh libyadcha. Suppose the worker says to the boss, give me the 50 dinner that you owe me. And the other one says, you collected already a gold dinner, which is half of it, because the 25 silver dinner and a gold dinner. So that would be motive mixtas. That would be where the Chachamim would say, for the reasons that we discussed in the Gemara, that unlike the usual motive mixtas, we would make him swear, and then he'd be putter from paying the other 25. Here we have the worker swear, and then he can collect the other 25.
That's only according to
Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, you don't even need that. If the worker says you owe me 50, and the guy says I already paid you the whole 50, where he's a kofer hakol, the Chachamim would still say that the socher swears. Incidentally, Tosfos gets over here into an interesting discussion of the question, how is the ratio of gold to silver 1 to 25? In our time, Tosfos says the ratio is about 1 to 10.
In our time, it's 1 to 10.
And then in other times, whatever. No, it's
what? Not
1 to 2, no way. No, in our day.
I'll do business with you. Sure.
Come on. Okay. No, nowadays I think it's now.
I'll give you 2 silver coins. You'll give me 1 gold coin.
Nowadays I think it's more like 20 or even more, or maybe even 40 or something. I don't know.
Whatever. I'll tell you right now.
Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is, anyway, Tosfos says a gold dinner was much thicker than a silver dinner. Therefore, that made a difference. Yeah. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah. Fine, let's not look up spot prices of gold and silver now, Aaron. We'll look it up later if we're interested. Okay. All right. Nigzal case. What is the case of the nigzal, of the person who was robbed? And we don't just mean, it doesn't just have to be the straightforward case where a person is robbed. It can also be the case as follows. If you have edim that somebody else went into, that a certain person went into his house to take a mashkin without permission, which we learned in Bava Metzia that b'shaloi b'shatavah, when it comes to not at the time of the loan, not only the shliach based, not only the malve himself is not allowed to go in, even a shliach based in is not allowed to go in. The loiva has to bring out something to the shliach based in which will serve as a mashkin. So now, if the malva himself went in to take a mashkin without permission, which is considered gezel in that sense, and so did he actually take anything? Who am a kele natalta? So the loiva says you took my possessions. Who am a lo natalti? And the other guy says I did not take them, which we'll see in the Gemara later on the exact scenario. Who nishba v'noitel? In that case, then the one whose house was entered can swear and collect what he's claiming was taken.
And he takes it.
And he collects it from the other guy. Again, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm agitation mixed say, again, Rabbi Yehuda says you need to have a motive mixed over here. Again, that then you have the shavua flipped around, not that you create a whole shavua out of thin air. Case said, Omala Shnei Kalim Latalta. If the loiva says to him, you took two Kalim, and the other one says, I only took one, that would be motive mixed. But if he says, I didn't take any, Rabbi Yehuda would say he's butter. Nechbal case said, what is the case of Nechbal, of a person who was injured?
Butter. And?
No, sure. Nechbal case. What would be the case of the person injured?
We are flipping an oath.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, all we're doing is flipping an existing shvua of Moedim Mikta. According to the Chachamim, we're creating a new shvua out of whole cloth of out of thin air, and applying it to the nigzal.
But yesterday or the day before, we were the impression that you can only flip an oath that was min rabbanan lechipachin like min barabashi.
Yes, but we're saying yes, but that's when the Beis Din decides like on an ad hoc basis. Here we're talking about, is there an official takana Chachamim to do this in these cases? To take the shvua away from one side. In other words, you can have a case where the Chachamim made a standard takana that in these cases the shvua is to begin in the cases that we're mentioning in our Mishnah, that the shvua to begin with is on the is that the Chachamim made a takana specifically that in these cases the takana is on the shvua is on the sacher which would have been otherwise a shvua deraisa on the other guy. We Chachamim are going to take that and instead place it on the other person. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Then you have versus the case the case of connected Choshed or Shavur, the case like on an ad hoc basis. Normally, you would have to swear, but because you're Choshed, we're having you swear instead. That, we said before, we wouldn't necessarily do with a Shavur Daraisa.
Oh, that we won't do with a Daraisa.
But here we have a fixed rule that it's always going to be the case. Over here, for example, with the Sacher, we're not saying that the Balabas is Choshed al Shavur. We're not saying the boss is Choshed, and yet we're taking the Shavur. But so then we have as a standard thing, it's always going to be the Sacher is going to swear. That we can do. But to say that usually we would have you Balabas swear, but because you're Choshed in this one case, we're going to take it and have the other one swear. That we said before you wouldn't do with the Shavur Daraisa. That's the difference.
Okay, so
that's not really switching.
That's the point. In the case of the Sacher, to begin with,
I'm still lost on Choshed al Shavur.
Choshed al Shavur, we're going to get to later on. Choshed al Shavur, we're saying that when you have a Shavur, something that would ordinarily you would have to take a Shavur Dirabanan. But Choshed al Shavur is not talking about a Shavur Daraisa. According to Rashi, it is, but according to the halacha, that it's not, that it would be referring to Shavuos Dirabanan.
So Rashi wouldn't agree that about this whole thing with Marbara.
Well, he would hold the halacha is like Marbara Rashi.
Rashi holds the halacha is like Marbara Rashi.
Apparently, yes.
Oh, okay.
I said before, Tosfos discussed the question whether the halacha is like him or not. Right.
Okay.
So let's go on. Nechbal case. What is the case of the person who was injured? Hoyim edim oisa shenichnas tachat yadei sholim. If you have edim that this person went into the other guy's property, he was intact. He wasn't injured. The yaltachavol, and he comes out of there beaten up. The amaloi chaval to be. So he says to the guy, "You beat me up." Who amaloi chaval to? And the other guy says, "I didn't." How does nishpa benoto? So again, the victim can swear, subject to the conditions that we'll see in the Gemara, and be able to collect. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Imad Shetesham Mikses Haidah. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says there has to be a partial Haidah.
Even if it's
we'll see in the Gemara. Ketzad, Amal Chaval to be Shtayim. For example, that the victim says, "You hit me twice." And the other one says, "I only hit you once." That would be Motiv Mikses. Motiv Mikses.
Because otherwise, they have to go into Donald Trump's house and commit himself.
Rabbi Yehuda
would agree with that.
Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Chachamim would say you don't even need Motiv Mikses.
Right. And
yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda
would say you did. That's what you just said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. By the way, the Rambam phrases it that in this case of Nechbal, and in this case of Nigzal and Nechbal, the Rambam phrases it that it's a knas. The Chachamim canceled the other guy and didn't allow him to swear that he's potter. And the Shach points out what do we care whether it's a knas or not? The importance of that is that we learn in other Gemaras. The importance of it we learn in other Gemaras that it means, therefore, suppose that the Gazlan or the Chovel died, we're not going to apply it to his children that they have to pay for it.
Oh.
As opposed to if we said that it was an actual din, like with the Sacher, then he could collect even after the boss died. But because it's only a knas, says the Shach, then it means it doesn't survive his death.
Well, we did the Bubbas, there was a lot of maskamidas between knas and...
When we say knas over here, we don't mean knas in the classical sense of something that can only be done by Beis Din Shel Smuchim. Mm-hmm. This kind might be able to be done by a Beis Din that's not Smuchim, but nevertheless, though, there's still the difference whether it could be done after he died. Okay. Boshes is something else. Boshes technically is mammon. Boshes is one of the things that he might be collecting. Boshes is technically mammon. However, we treat it as knas because we learned at the beginning of Sanhedrin that Bate Dinim nowadays only have the power to judge common cases, and Boshes is not that common necessarily.
Right. Okay. Case.
That what's the fourth case of our Mishnah where somebody is suspect of a Shavur, and therefore we flip it around. In what sense is he suspect? Echad Shavur Se'edus, regardless whether what he's suspect on swearing falsely was a Shavur Se'edus, so he swore falsely and didn't know Edus, and it turned out that he did. V'achad Shavur Se'edus, or whether it was a Shavur Se'edus that we discussed earlier. V'afil Shavur Se'edus, even if all he's guilty of previously is a Shavur Se'edus, which is, therefore, Rashi points out, he's only Ra'al Shamayim. He did an Avera against Hashem. It wasn't even something that affected anybody else, unlike Shavur Se'edus and Shavur Se'edus. Nevertheless, he's still possible for a Shavur because of that. Also, Hoya Echad Mem Misachet Sekovia, suppose that one of the parties in this Din Torah is a gambler, which we learned at Sanhedrin, why he's possible Le'edus, and therefore he's also possible Shavur. Or Malva B'Ribis, so he lends at Ribis, even Ribis Dirabanan. Or Machricha Yonim, people who make doves fly, which we said over there, we learned at Sanhedrin, two meanings. Either it means they do pigeon racing and they bet on it, in which case it's like Misachet Sekovia, or that they have that they have pigeons of theirs that lure other people's pigeons out of their birdhouses, which is a form of gezel derabanan. The seichre shvius, people who do business with shmita fruit. All those cases, shekneged nishba v'notel, all those cases then, since they can't swear, since they're koshered on a shavua, then therefore the opposite party would swear and collect.
So that's even with a derabanan.
So again, no, according to Rashi, that would be even with one deraisa, like modu v'mitzvah.
Okay.
The halacha, not being like ma'avar avashi, it would only apply to shavua derabanan. How you shnei and chashudin, what if both of them are koshered? Then the shvur returns to its original place. What that means, we'll learn in the Gemara in a couple of blocks, what that expression means. Divir Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Rameo says, since neither of them is able to swear, what we do is we split the money between them, between the Teveya and the Nifra.
That's fair.
Well, okay, we'll see in the Gemara. All right. V'achen v'ni alpim kosei keitzad. What is this case of the storekeeper with his ledger? It doesn't mean that the storekeeper says, I have it written in my records that you owe me 200 zuz. That wouldn't be the kind of thing where on that basis the Chachamim are going to give the storekeeper the right to swear to that and be able to collect that.
It doesn't mean that.
What does it mean? Ella, what it would mean is...
Why do we have to know what it doesn't mean?
Because we would think. Otherwise, Chachamim up in cost, they would think every time you argue with a storekeeper, he claims that you owe him X amount, you would think he could swear and collect. No, that's not what it means. Ella, what it means is like this. Suppose that the balabas tells the storekeeper, ten lebni sasayim chitin, give my son 2 saw of wheat, or ten lepayli selamais, or give my worker a selah's worth of small change. Later on, the storekeeper says, I gave it to them, so therefore you, balabas, have to reimburse me. And they say, we never received it. Those are the cases. So now the storekeeper will be able to swear that he did in fact give it and collect from the balabas, and the worker will be able to swear that he didn't receive it and therefore he didn't receive his pay, and he will also end up collecting from the balabas. So the balabas is going to end up paying out twice in that case.
Why pays twice?
We'll see in the Gemara why. But basically what it boils down to, what it is basically because the workers and the storekeeper didn't agree to do business with each other. So therefore, the worker can say, I'm not obligated to believe the storekeeper's shvura, and the storekeeper is able to say, I'm not obligated to believe the worker's shvura. Each of us has a claim against you. You want to work it out afterwards, that's your business, but we never agreed to accept each other's shvuras. You agreed to do business with me, the storekeeper. You agreed to hire me, the worker, and that includes accepting our shvuras. So then in that case, you got to do that.
We did this whole
thing. Yeah,
we learned it back in Rav Medea.
However, Omer ben Nanas, the banana says on that, how do you have a situation like that where both of them are coming for a shvuras shav? Inevitably, one of them is lying. So rather, Ben Nana says neither one requires a shavua, they can both collect without a shavua. A different girsa, which it brings on the side over here, is the Ran has a girsa that the storekeeper has to swear in order to be able to collect. The worker can collect without swearing.
Fine.
Okay, the halacha is not like Ben Nana's anyway. The halacha is like the chachamim that both of them have to swear. They both swear, yeah. Okay.
Good.
Another case.
It's not really a shvuras shav. I mean,
one of them's got to be. Either the storekeeper didn't give it, or the worker did. Either the storekeeper gave it, or the
either
didn't.
Either happened or it didn't happen.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
If it happened,
okay.
One of them's lying. If the other didn't happen, the other one's lying.
As a matter of fact, the Gemara brings at the beginning of Bava Metzia. The Gemara asks when you have the case over there of the two people holding on to the talis, and each one claims, how does that fit with Ben Nanas, where we make them both swear? And the answer is because in that case, and the Gemara says over there because over here, inevitably, it's one big thing. Inevitably, one of them or the other of them is lying. Whereas over there, you could have that each one of them, they both picked it up at the exact same moment, and therefore they were actually coining it both.
And also, they swear that I don't own in it less than
Well,
half.
In the end, they end up swearing that they only own half of it, that they own not less than half. Right, that's true. Okay. Fine. How about another case? So a person says to a storekeeper, give me a dinner's worth of produce. And the storekeeper gives it to him. Amalei ten li oitz a dinner. The storekeeper then tells him, give me the dinner. Amalei nesativ loch or nesativ unfully. He says, I gave it to you and you put it in your cash register. So, you shut. What? Unfully literally means a money box. Tikka ati lamoris, as he says. A case that's meant for money. That's probably a Greek word. I don't know. What do we do? You shove a balabayas shenosamayas at dinner. What we do is the balabas should swear that he gave him the dinner. On the other hand, omolay tenli as a peiros. On the other hand, if the balabas says to the storekeeper, give me the produce. Because in other words, in this first case, the balabas already has the peiros. So it's a question, does he owe the dinner or not? So therefore, the balabas swears, and then he's potter. On the other hand, omolay tenli as a peiros, if he tells the storekeeper, give me the peiros, omolay, and the storekeeper tells him, the sakim l'chai, I already gave you them, and I brought them to you, I delivered them to your house, then yeshava chenveni, then the storekeeper will swear, and then he'll be able to collect his dinner. Rabbi Yehuda says, whichever one has the peiros in their possession has the upper hand. So we'll see in the Gemara later on Memches, we'll get into the exact details of it. I do have to mention, by the way, that what the exact scenario here is in the Mishnah and what the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about is very, very controversial. The Shach in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Tzadik Aleph, where it brings these dinim, the Shach brings five different explanations of Rishonim. What exactly is the scenario over here?
Wow.
He has problems with every one of them. So he brings his own explanation, wow, a sixth explanation, and he says, he gives a whole long explanation, and he says at the end of it, he brings also proof from Tosefta and from Yerushalmi, and he says, I can't understand why the Chachamim and why the Rishonim of previous generations didn't notice this Tosefta, and the Yerushalmi, he says, I'm sure when I come to the next world, then the Tanoim and I are going to come out and thank me for explaining. The Taz then goes and looks over this whole thing of the Shach, and he says, I don't understand. How can the Shach be just rejecting everybody else's opinion? This Tosefta that he's bringing is not a proof because such and such. This Yerushalmi is bringing a proof is not a proof because such and such. And the Taz says, never mind the Shach's sixth answer. One of the other answers is acceptable.
Mm. Which one?
I don't remember which one the Taz comes down with.
There has to be a
Nikudas Kesev
on that.
No, Nikudas Kesev is in Yodea, but yeah.
You don't even have it in Choshen Mishpat.
No, you don't have it in Choshen Mishpat now.
I never learned.
So later on Memches, we'll get into more of the details about the Shem. Okay, fine. Another case. Amal Shochani Tenli B'Dinner Mo. Suppose another case, a person says to a money changer, give me a dinner's worth of small change. And then the money changer gives it to him. Amalai tenli at the dinner. So now the money changer says, give me the dinner. Amalai nesati v'loch, nesati b'unfali. And again, the balabas tells him, I gave it to you, and you put it in your cash register. Again, you shove a balabas, and the balabas swears that he gave him the dinner, and then he's potter. On the other hand, nesamlai at the dinner, but if it was the other way around, the balabas had given him the dinner, amalai tenli at the mois, and then he tells him, give me this change. Amaloy, and the guy tells him, the money changer tells him, Nisatim lecha v'yishlachta l'sech kiska, I gave it to you, and you already put it in your money bag, in your pocket. Then you shove a shochani, then the shochani is the one who swears, and then he can collect on that basis. And again, Rabbi Yehuda, so here Rabbi Yehuda says a little bit differently. Before, Rabbi Yehuda said, whichever one has the payrith, yada alo yona. But here, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't use that expression because when it comes to storekeepers, yes, it happens very often that you pay, that you sell somebody on credit, and you collect later. Whereas with a shulchani, Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind that. Ein derech shulchani losses litin iser adjiyatil dinner. It's not usual for a money changer to give the small change until he receives the large bill first, the large change first. So therefore, there's no reason to assume that, there's no reason to have the balabas swear in the first case when you have the case where the balabas swears, where the balabas claims, I already gave you the dinner, There's no reason to have you don't need a shavua. The storekeeper won't have given him the small change unless he already had the dinner. So therefore, it's a given that the balabas must have already given him the dinner.
And therefore,
that's it. Then the balabas should be entitled to collect his change without a shavua.
Without a shavua.
Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah.
Here's other cases of
shavuos. Kesheim she'amru. Now, just as the Chachamim said in Masechta Ksuvos, that if a woman, when she comes to collect her ksuba, if she agrees, if she's moida that she already received part of it, so therefore she's pogim, she's reducing the power of the ksuba document, because the ksuba says, for example, that 200 zuz that she's entitled to, and she's saying it's really only now 150 or what have you, so that's called pogim ksubasa. And then the din is lotipora ela b'shvura. She can only collect the rest with a shvura. If the husband, obviously, if the husband claims that he paid the whole thing. And the same thing, the aid had me'ida she grua letipari al b'shavua. Similarly, you have a case if one aid claims that she was already paid off, then she can only receive it with a shavua.
Even if she has a full ksuba.
She has a full ksuba. She claims I didn't get any of it, but one aid says that you received it. So then she would have to take a shavua in order to.
If he paid her, wouldn't he have taken the ksuba and?
Not necessarily. Maybe, but maybe not. And also minachosim mishabodim or minichsi yisaimim. Also, if she comes to collect from nachosim mishabodim, from property that was sold to third parties, or from the property of yisaimim after her husband died, also leiti parah al b'shvura. Also, she can only collect with a shvura, even if there's no poigim and no edim or anything. And v'hanifras shall have the fun of.
She does what then in that case?
In the she has to swear that she didn't collect the ksuba. And then she can
then
collect
she
it.
Collects?
Yeah. Also, if she's going to collect her ksuba not in her husband's presence, then she also needs to loti par al b'shvur. Then also she can only collect the shvur, because then effectively what it is based on has to stand up for the husband and say, you know what, if he had been here, he might have argued that you received it already. Therefore, you should have to take a shvur. Her husband is out of town.
Right.
She comes to collect. Her husband divorced her and then left town.
Right.
She comes to collect the ksuba. So now she needs to take a shavua.
She collects it from who?
From her husband's property. But if Beis Din is going to take from her husband's property, from her ex-husband's property, to collect the ksuba, then she needs to swear first. V'chein ha-yisoymim le-yiparu ala b'shavua. And similarly, that we're saying that yisoymim can only collect with a shavua. Which we'll see later on in the Gemara what the exact scenario is.
What is briefly? What's the scenario? That they're Yisaimim. They're really.
So they are Yisaimim. They're not. Well, they are Yisaimim. In other words, but they. We're not talking about a ksuba anymore. Now we're talking about a loan. Huh. They're claiming that a loan that's outstanding that our father lent has not been paid off yet. So in order for them to be paid off, they are going to need to take a shavua. What is that shavua? Shavua shalat gadonu abba. They have to swear that our father did not give us instructions before he died to say that this shtar is paid off. V'loi omolonu rishalu v'loi omolonu abba. And that he never told us anything as an incidental thing, not just in other words on his deathbed, but any time before that. V'shaloi matzinu bin shirorisav shal abba shashtar zaparua. And also they're swearing that we didn't find among our father's documents any document indicating that this one had been paid off. There's no shoiver. No, obviously it's not.
That covers
everything. There's no shoiver. There's no receipt. Yeah.
One thing I say is he wouldn't hold on to the shoiver. Why didn't you throw it away?
Usually, actually, the shoiver would actually be by the loiver. Usually, the shoiver would be given to the loiver. But in this case, so they have to swear that they didn't find any such evidence.
If I borrowed money and I paid it back, I'd sure get that thing.
Okay. Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, ma'afilu noila da ben la'acha mitzvah av. Rabbi Yechon ben Broka says, even, it's not only it has to be that where the Yisoimim are able to make all these three claims, and if not, then they don't have to make any of them. Even if a person was born after his father died, so there's obviously no shalat godonu abba and shalai omolonu abba. Nevertheless, still, he still has to swear to the third thing, that I didn't find anywhere in my father's files any shover or any indication that the shtar is paid off, and only then can he collect. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, im yesh edim shama abishas misot the shtar ze'en aparua, if there are edim that the father specifically said before he died that the shtar is not paid off, then who knows of shalai b'shvur, then says Rav Shimon Gamliel, the yisomim are able to collect without a shvur. Because then, obviously, if the father said clearly before he died that the shtar is not paid off, then we have to take what he said as a given.
So how does it work then?
So then, in other words, we're coming up here with the same.
So if the father hadn't given any instructions, that's what we're saying, like the Tanakhama said, that the Yisoyim have to take a shvur before they're going to collect on this debt. But if he specifically said before he died that the shtar is not paid off, then the Yisoyim are able to collect without a shvur because it's obviously not paid off. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. The Elu Nishvarin Shaloi B'Taina. The following people swear in Beis Din even when there's no taina against them. Now, what do you mean there's no taina against them? Then what are they swearing? Later on, the Gemara is going to explain it means there's no tainas bori. There's no definite claim. There's only a tainas shema. There's a maybe claim, and nevertheless, we still make them swear. Hashrukvin, partners. So you have one partner claims that the other one took more out of the business than he was supposed to or whatever. So again, it's not a bori necessarily. It's a shema. You may have taken too much. We still make the shutef when the partnership is dissolve, we make him swear.
How do we assume that it's only Shema? Maybe
he knows for sure. He knows for sure, but it doesn't have to be. Even if the other guy.
That's the Kiddush. Yeah. Even if it's Shema.
Baharisin, and similarly an Oris, when he's finished a sharecropper, when he's finished his term. Bahapatrupin, and caretakers of an estate. We're not necessarily talking over here about a betrupin of Yisoymin, by the way. Then we dealt with in Gittin, we had a machlokas there, whether they have to swear at the end when the Yisoymin finally grow up and the apotropism are done. We're talking about over here a person appoints and a caretaker of his properties while he's overseas or what have you.
So even with a short period of time.
Yeah. Well, Isha, also a woman who is running things in the house, that she would have to swear that she didn't take more than she was supposed to from the nechassim. Ben Abayis Omaloi, and so what you have, the situation is you have this woman taking care of the things, or any of these things, that apotropos or the shutfin or whatever, and the another member of the household says, Mata Tayaneni, what are you claiming against me? I want you to swear that you didn't take more than he was supposed to. Chayav, then he's chayav to swear. And on the other hand, once the partners or the sharecroppers divide, once they each get their relevant portion, any ochalashbir, then he's not able to afterwards go and make him swear that you didn't take more than you were supposed to.
He has to do it before.
On the other hand, if he has reason already to make him swear on some other claim, nothing to do with that one, then Megalgal and all of us are called, then you can include this in Gilgul Shavur. Because Gilgul Shavur can be where you don't have a claim that by itself is strong enough to require a Shavur, like in this case, where they already broke up the partnership and everybody got what they were supposed to. But because you have Gilgul Shavur, you can make that work. And one last thing, Vashvius Mishametas Vashvur. When we said before about Shmita canceling debt, Shmita also cancels the requirement for a Shavur in these various cases, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. So we start off, the Gemara says, where do we know this that we said at the beginning of the Mishnah? This is, by the way, another example, of course, where all the printers decided to jam together all the Mishnayot together. Okay. When we say in the beginning of the Mishnah that all cases where a person takes a Shavur, Minatorda, is always in order to be exempt from paying, Menolon, where do we know that from? The reason is the Amakrov Lokach Ba'ala Veloy Shalom, because the Pasuk says in connection with a Shomer, it says that the Shomer swears that there was an onus or what have you, and the owner takes the Shavua and he does not pay. Meaning Misha Olav Lashalom Lo Shavua, meaning the one who otherwise would have had to pay, he's the one who has to swear. Minatara. So that's where we get the concept. The Shomer, for example, who otherwise, had it not been for the Shavua, would have to pay. Instead, he takes a Shavua and he's exempt. There's no such case, though, in the Torah, where a person can swear in order to collect. Those are only Dirabban, as you said in the Mishnah. The Eilun Shavuim Benoit,
and Cholos, and then you said in the Mishnah, the following cases can swear and collect.
And the first one of them was Socher, was a hired worker. So, the Gemara says, Maishna Socher, so why is it different by a Socher, by a hired worker? That the Rabbanan made such a takana that he should swear and be able to collect. In other words, the question is, why don't we do the usual thing? We should say, fine, you want to say, for example, that according to the Tanakhama, we said that it applies even when the Balabas denies the whole claim. He says, I already paid you. Fine, make him swear as he usually would and let him be potter. Why instead are you having the Socher swear in order to collect? So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, you should know that great important halachas were taught in this connection. So before we continue with what he means by that, usually in Gemara terminology, halacha usually means halacha l'meshe misinai. These aren't halachas l'meshe misinai, these are takanas. Ela ima takanas g'dolus shanu kan. Okay, change the wording a little bit. He means there are great takanas over here. Okay, Jodolus and Kalbi Takanis. So what does that imply? These are great Takanis and other Takanis and Chachamim are small Takanis. Tosfos points out over here and also in Baba Metzia that the reason why the Gemara asks this, you have such an expression in other places, you have Takana Gdola in other places. The reason is because they're saying Shanu Kan as if like to eliminate. Any other place is not Takanis Gdola. This is a Takana Gdola. So why? Is that any less? Is this any more worthy than any other Takana?
Did we have a discussion like
that? Yeah, we had something similar like this in Bava Metzia. In Bava Metzia, in the last Perek, when we talked about the Dinim of a Socher, a lot of what we're going to learn in this Sugya about a Socher swearing and collecting, we learned over there in connection with the Dinim of Baal Tolin, the Dinim that you're not allowed.
We had
the same expression, yeah.
He remembers what page it is.
I don't. Mr. Shatz remembers it. Ella Omer of Nachman.
It's said over there,
the same discussion. Ella Omer of Nachman. Omer Shmuel Takonos Gvuris Shanu Kan.
What the correct terminology is, they made over here fixed takanos. Fixed in the sense that we made takanos over here, which are a fixed thing. It's always going to be this way. It's always going to be this way without exception. And there's different other explanations of what it means to kruis, including one interesting one. The Ritva says, first, there's a Tosfos over there in Bava Metzia, says it means, it's not just talking about the case of the Sachar. All the five cases of our Mishnah are all takonis kruis. They're all fixed that's how it is. But the Ritva says an interesting thing. The Shodesh Kava, Kuf Vez Ayin, can also mean to steal.
Huh.
So therefore, takonis kruis shanukan, in the sense, like it's almost like a chamim, stole the shvua from one side and put it on the other one. And
you didn't say that last time.
Shvuas can mean steal.
Yeah. You didn't say that last time.
I don't have to deny it. No. So what does it mean? Akruad upon the shvua mebalabayis. It means the hachamim uprooted the shvua, which normally should be on the balabayis, right? He should usually swear and be potter. V'shadyua socher, and they placed it on the socher. And the reason is mishum kidei chayav. The reason is because he needs it for his living. He hired himself out for a wage that he needs in order to live off of, and therefore for that reason. So the question is, so because of that, should we penalize the balabayis where he may end up paying the same thing twice?
Mm-hmm.
What if the sacher swears falsely? The answer is balabayis gufe nichalei de meshtabas sacher v'shakil. The balabayis himself, the boss himself, has good reason to prefer that the sacher should be swearing and collecting. This way, he's more likely in the future, workers will be willing to be hired by him. Like this, if he swears and he doesn't have to pay, other people are likely to say, why should we bother working for that guy? We have this whole story in Bava Metzia. Other future workers are likely to say, why should we bother working for this guy? We're going to end up arguing with him whether he's going to swear and we won't have anything. Yeah. So like this, it's to the benefit of the Balabas. The question is, yes, but you could argue that, on the other hand, the socher should prefer that balabayis should swear, v'nifka, and be potter, t'yecha deligre balabayis. This way, people are likely to hire him in the future. Same thing in reverse. If the socher swears and collects, and the balabas has reason to think that maybe this guy swore falsely, and therefore collected twice the salary for the same thing, again, people may be likely to say, well, why should we hire this guy in the future? We can't necessarily trust his shavuos, and we may end up...
That's not going to happen if the balabas...
That's the question. If the balabas swears and is potter, then people are more willing to hire the worker. But if they're so why are we assuming? Why are we assuming that it's in the balabas's interest? And, well, that's the thing. Rabbeinu Hananel talks about... One second. So the Rabbeinu Hananel explains that what the Gemara is going to end up saying is that actually you have two reasons. You have the point of today chayav, the fact that the poor worker works for this money, and therefore we should try everything possible to get it to him. And there's also that we're going to say that there's a reason why to put it on the, there's a reason why, so that explains why there's a shvur in the first place. Considering, after all, the balabas is play for hakel, why is there a shvur in the first place? So today chayav explains that. The considerations that we're talking about over here, balabas versus worker, end up explaining, as we'll see at the end, why the balabas is the one, why the software is the one and who ends up swearing and collecting, rather than the balabas swearing and being positive.
For the following reasons?
Well, that's what we're discussing. We're in the middle of discussing it now. So the point is, if you're going to say, so fine, we can understand why there needs to be a shavua, because kedei chayav. But you're saying we should put the shavua on the worker and be able to collect. What about the balabas's interest?
And the answer is the balabas wants it that way, so that way people are more likely to be hired to want to work for him. But the problem is, if it looks like that, you could also look at it the other way around.
And if the balabas swears and is potter, rather than the socher swearing and collecting, then people are more likely to want to hire the socher. So maybe it's in the socher's interest to not swear, and rather leave it to the balabas to swear. The answer is balabas, agar. Fine, but the balabas has no choice. When he needs workers, he's got to hire workers. So therefore, he has more of an interest in making sure that people are going to want to work for him. Okay, of course, the problem is the other way around. Socher nami alkoche mitka, and a worker also, of necessity, he needs to eat, so he needs employment. Yeah. Now, Ella, no.
Never mind all of that. The reason is,
balabas totered the payalabu. Because the reason why we don't make the balabayas swear is because he's busy with his other workers. He has a lot of workers. He may well have a lot of workers. He may have paid some of them, and he thought that he also paid this one also. So therefore, instead of having him swear, we instead have the worker swear, where the worker has more reason to know whether he was actually tottered. No, it's a reason. It's a reason, because he's tottered. So therefore, in other words, well, so one explanation therefore is that the fact, one explanation is, first of all, that he may mix up who he paid and who he didn't. But it also means, therefore, when he denied paying, it's not necessarily a tainus bori. It may only be a tainus shema. He's not sure whether he paid him or not. So therefore, we have more reason. You can't make a person who's claiming a tainus shema. That's included in this idea of totem repair love. Some of the mafarshim learn it that
meaning
way.
It's a derivative.
It's a derivative, yeah. Tosfos points out, by the way, and what if the balabas, what if this particular balabas only has one worker? The answer is light plug. Still, when the Chachamim make a takana, they don't differentiate. Also, Tosfos brings up the Yerushalmi says it's not that the balabas is busy with his workers; it's a stock of merubin. He has a lot of different kinds of businesses and a lot of different kinds of things going on in his household that he has a hard time keeping track of. Whereas the worker has one thing to keep track of: did he get his salary or not? Okay. So then the question becomes, if you're going to go that way, then let the Chachamim just make a takana. Let's just say then why are we making anybody swear at all? Let the worker be able to collect without a shvur. If we're saying totem b'parah lav, the owner himself may or may not be sure whether he even paid him. The answer is k'dei l'chofes daito shel balabayis. The reason is in order to make the balabayis feel better, that this way he's not thinking that the guy is totally taking advantage of me. So like this, at least we make him swear.
The payroll line will go around and around and around.
And
keep getting in line again and again.
If you didn't make him swear anything all the time.
That's the point. The office died to Shabalabais in order to make the Balabais feel better that this way, at least he feels that his claim was taken seriously. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, the question is, v'leis of lebe egim, fine, why don't we make a different takana in the first place? Instead of making shavuos, let's make a takana that every time a boss pays his workers, he has to pay them in the presence of egim, and then there's no question in the first place, and then you don't have a shavuos in the first place. The answer is trichalei milsa. It would be a big tircha to have to get egim every time. Okay, the question is, how about v'leis of lebe me'ikra? Fine, let's try another possibility. Why don't the chachamim make a takana that what you do is you have to pay your workers before they start the job? You hire them in the morning, you pay them then, and then that's it. Then there's no claim later in the day. Then that you want to try to avoid a shvur as much as possible, because we discussed earlier that a shvur is a very serious thing. So the Gemara is going to try all these ways. The reason is shnei and roitzim ba'kafa. The reason is because both the balabas and the worker both would rather have the payment delayed. The balabas may not have money first thing in the morning. In fact, we learned in Bava Metzia in the sugya over there that we give him 12 hours after the guy finished his work to be able to raise the money, because he doesn't necessarily have cash on hand. As far as the worker, he also would rather be paid at the end. So Rashi says over here the reason is because if he gets paid in the morning, he may end up spending it during the day. Then he's not going to have anything to bring home. So like this, he would rather get it in the evening and then he'll bring it straight home. In different other places, Rashi explains, in different other Rishonim talk about, Rashi himself, I think it is, in Bava Metzia, says that the other consideration is, if he gets it in the morning, he may lose it sometime during the day. As opposed to, he gets it in the evening, he takes it straight home.
What's the Torah says? You're not supposed to delay it?
You're not supposed to delay it. So if you have a worker by day, so that's the thing. We learned over there. If you have a worker who works for you by day, then you have the entire following night to pay him. You have to pay him before sunrise. And if he works for you during the night, then you have to pay him by the end of the daytime. Yeah. So like this, not only the balabas would rather delay the payment until the end, because that way he has more time to get money together, but also the worker would rather get the money at the end, so he doesn't spend it earlier in the day, so he doesn't lose it during the day. And also, Rabbeinu Hananel says over here, you don't want it to be a burden for him, meaning psychologically, if a person gets paid first and then they have to do the work, during the day, they're forgetting already about they got paid, and do I really have to do all this work? I already have to pay in my pocket anyway, as opposed to if he gets paid at the end, he's going to take the work seriously.
But which worker would accept to get paid with delay? I mean, it's not in the nature of
that's the point. In other words, minat Torah, you have a din that you have to pay him within 12 hours. After
no, I understand, but what
no,
do
no.
you say here?
Mi'ikra means at the beginning. You should have, you hire the guy in the morning.
No.
Immediately then, you give him his pay.
Oh,
no, but that's what we're saying. The worker himself would rather be paid at the end of the day, so he can take it straight home, rather than at the beginning of the day.
That's what I mean.
That's the point.
Because
we just said, because he might lose it on the way, he might spend it during the day, whatever. Yeah.
But not after he's supposed to get it.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, ihochi, so if you're going to say that the reason why we make the worker swear and collect is because the balabas is busy and he may not know who he paid and who he didn't, then that should apply. Afilo kasaf nami, that should apply, even if we're talking about that they're arguing about how much it was agreed on that he's paying him per hour or whatever. Alama Tanya, so in that, but, and we see it's not so, because why is it we learn in a Braisa? Uman Oma Stein Potato. this that we're saying, you're assuming that the reason why the Sacher swears is because the Balabas is totally repayalah, because he's busy with his other workers. Well, in that case, the same thing should apply if they're arguing about whether he got paid or not. The same thing should also apply if they're arguing how much the pay was supposed to be. Kotzat means that they agreed on a rate. They agreed on a rate per hour or whatever. Alama Tanya.
The discussion is not only about whether he was paid.
Alama Tanya. So why is it we learn in a Braisa and not like that? Umar Omer Shtayim Kotzatzali. We have a case where a craftsman says, you agreed to pay me two zuzim or what have you.
Right.
And the Balabas says, I only agreed to pay you one.
Right.
Then we say, Amotzi Mechaveh Olav Araya. Then we say that the Uman who wants to take money from the other one has to bring the proof. He has to bring Edim. We don't just allow him to swear. Well, why not? If it's a matter of Torah B'Parolov, then what's the difference?
Right.
And the answer is, Tzitzavada Midcha Docher. Because when it comes to the amount that they agreed on, that's definitely something that you expect them to remember. So therefore, you can't just say that the Baal Boss will be expected to remember that. So it's not going to be
how much
they agreed that he's going to pay him per hour or per job or whatever. That kind of thing you would expect him to remember. So therefore, it's not included in that the Balabas is tortured, that the Balabas may be confused because of his other workers or whatever. Here you would expect him to know. So therefore, so then you woman want to collect too, then you've got to bring proof. You've got to bring aid. That's different, right? And also, the Rishonim talk about there is a difference after all that I think the Rosh talks about. The difference is also the logical difference is. When it comes to whether the worker got paid or not, to say chayav, as we said before in the Gemara, it's a matter of he needs what to live off of. Whereas over here, usually when they agreed on a price to begin with, the worker is not going to agree on something that he can't live on.
Right.
So therefore, we're not really talking about the difference. So it's less of a difference of today chayav. It's less of a difference of desperation like that. So, yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. So again, let's ask another question. If you're going to say that the reason why the Sacher swears and collects is because the Balabas is usually busy with his other workers and therefore may not be sure whether he paid him or not, then I feel over Zmani Nami. Shouldn't this apply even if the time already passed? Which again, you have from that Gemara and Bava Metzia that you're supposed to have. You have the Balabas has until the morning for a night worker or until the evening for a day worker to pay him. In that case, the same logic should apply, even if it's, for example, the next day that the Sacher comes and says, you didn't pay me. And yet, we see not. Alama Tanya, why is it then we learn in a Braisa not like that? That we say if that time, if that deadline passed and the Balabas had not given him yet, then the worker cannot swear and collect his pay. Then he needs to bring Edim or whatever that he hadn't been paid. So why should it be a difference?
Right.
The reason is...
leave him until the next...
The question is like this. We know, for example, that if you have a person working for you during the daytime on Sunday, then you have until Nesachama on Monday to pay, on Monday morning to pay it. Now, we're saying during that time is the time when if the worker claims I wasn't paid, then he can come to Beis Din and he can swear and collect. But we're saying if he were to come, for example, Monday later in the morning or Monday afternoon or Tuesday or whatever and claim I didn't get paid, he wouldn't be able to swear. Then he has to bring an actual raya. If it's a matter of Balabas started to play a log, what's the difference? What's the difference? It should apply the same rule, yeah. The answer is because against that we have chazaka in Balabas over Valtolin. Yes, but against that we have a chazaka that the Balabas is not going to want to be over on the issue of Valtolin, of not paying his workers in time, which is an issue in the Torah. So we assume that he's not going to want to do that. So therefore, after the time of, so it's true, Torah B'Payalov. On the other hand, though, he doesn't want to be over on Baal Talin. Therefore, that gives us a reason to think that he really did pay him.
One second. Baal Talin would also be effective if he pays him less than what he employs.
No.
He should.
No, not necessarily.
Baal Talin is when
he doesn't pay him. Yeah. And maybe it'd be partially over on it. I don't know.
What is it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, so the question is, Va'amit Balabais Torah B'Payalov, who? You just said that the Balabais is busy with his workers, so he may have forgotten. So then he forgot. It's not a matter of he's trying to be over on the Aveira deliberately.
Right.
So why would it be any different before and after?
Right.
The answer is, Hanimili Mekame Delimtis Man Chiyuva. That's before the time of Chiyuv comes. During that 12-hour period when he has that grace period to pay the guy, during that time, we say the Balabas might be confused. He might forget who he paid, who he didn't. Timothy's man chiyuva, but when it comes to the end of the time, when it comes to the end of the time, when he now becomes chayev, when he's over on the Isser, when he would be over on the Isser of Baal Tolin, Romi Anafshi Umidgar, at that point, he will force himself to remember, hey, did I pay this guy or not? And therefore, if he says to himself, I already paid him, therefore I'm not over on Baal Tolin, we have strong reason to assume that that's the case. So that's the difference. In our scenario over here, if the guy comes and asks him on Sunday evening or early Monday morning, where's my pay? And he says, I already paid you. Then he can be Nishma Venotel, as our Mishnah said. But if he comes to him later on Monday during the morning or Monday afternoon or what have you, then we assume by that point the Baal HaBos himself, if he really hadn't paid him, would have taken the trouble to remember it. So he's not over on the mitzvah. Therefore, we can assume he already paid him, and therefore that takes away the tot of the poel of, and therefore we're going to say the usual rules apply. The Baal HaBos can swear that he paid him and be potter, or the other guy is going to have to bring aid.
By that point,
we assume that, yeah. Now, Tosfos points up an interesting question, which is, in that case, why do we have the whole takana of a shvur in the first place? Why don't we just say, to begin with, that we always say, if you work or come on Monday, on Sunday evening or Monday morning, we won't have any shvurs at that point. We'll say, wait till later in the morning, wait till Monday morning. And then at that point, we assume your Baal HaBos paid you because he doesn't want to be over on Baal Tolin. And if you still claim later Monday morning that he hasn't paid you, then at that point, you'll have to bring a raya. And Tosfos asked another question in that case. Then why don't we just say the Baal HaBos is going to be chayav shvur? That's also going to force him to remember. So Tosfos answers both of those with one answer. Tosfos gives two answers, but one of them is, on the other hand, we have psychologically, once the Baal HaBos denied that he owes this money, we don't expect that he's going to admit it afterwards because he doesn't want people to think of him as a liar. So if he hadn't denied it yet, then fine, we could say that. But once he already denied it, then we're not going to have him swear because he's not going to want to do that in the first place, and he's b'chlal not going to want to admit. He's not going to want to contradict what he said before. So therefore, that is why instead of waiting for the next day, we just tell the socher, the worker, right away, go ahead and swear, and you can collect. Fine. So the question is, back to the Gemara, v'chisacher over mishum bal tigzil. Okay, but you have to ask. Fine, you're saying that the Baal HaBos has a chazaka; he's not going to be over on Baal Tolin. Is the worker going to want to be over on Baal Tigzil and get paid double for the same thing? He's also being over on Avera then. So why don't we say that there's a chazaka in that also? The answer is Baal HaBos, it could trade chazaka because the difference is when it comes to the Baal HaBos, you have two chazakas. Number one is that the Baal HaBos is not going to want to be over on the Avera of Baal Tolin. Therefore, before the deadline comes, he's going to do his best to remember whether he paid or not. And if at that point he doesn't pay, we have good reason to think that he really did pay already. But Chodah, and another Chazaka we have is the Ein Socher, Masha Schorei. A Socher usually doesn't wait to collect his pay. He usually wants it right away at the end of the job. Therefore, if it took any longer than that, then we have to assume that alone is a strong reason to think that maybe the socher already collected it. Because then why did he wait all this time to come ask for it?
He would have come earlier.
He would have come earlier, yeah.
The socher.
Okay. Fine. All of this that we're talking about, that the socher is entitled to swear and collect his pay, is only when, to begin with, the Baal HaBos hired him in the presence of Edim. There's Edim that he told him, work with me today and I'll pay you X amount. And then he did the work. Aval socher shaloi b'edim, but if he hired him without Edim, then he has a migui. Since he could have said, I never hired you in the first place, instead, he's able to say, I did hire you, but I already paid you, and therefore no shvur.
Because he had a migui.
Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak Yishar, so Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, well said, v'chein amar Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan said the same thing. So now the Gemara interjects over here, like it did the other day, Miklal de Poligalei Rishlokish, when you say Rabbi Yechanan held this way. But Miklal de Poligalei Rishlokish, if you're saying Rabbi Yechanan held this way, are you implying that Rishlokish, who usually disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan, would disagree on this?
Good question.
So the answer is no. As we had a few days ago, no. Ikadami mishta have a shot delay the shot delay. Some say that at the point when Rabbi Yochanan said this, Rish Lakish was taking a drink. Therefore, he couldn't respond.
Mishta
have a shot. He was drinking. He was taking a drink. Therefore, Rishotically, therefore he was quiet. And then at that point, Rabbi Yitzchak left. So he didn't know whether afterwards Rabbi Yochanan spoke, whether afterwards Rish Lakish spoke up. The Ikadami Misha have a Shahilei Rishotically. Others say that that Rish Lakish would always be quiet until Rabbi Yochanan finished saying what he was saying, out of Derech Eretz, and then he would then he would speak. Meanwhile, again, Rabbi Yitzchak left. Before Rabbi Yochanan had finished speaking, or before Rish Lakish had a chance to respond, so again he didn't know for sure whether Rish Lakish disagreed with him or not. We had these same explanations a few dafim ago. Although interestingly, the Gemara had them the other way around. The first explanation was that Rish Lakish had waited, and the second explanation was he was taking a drink. Why in our Gemara they're the other way around? I don't know. Okay. It's my nami. So now we said also, it's not just Shmuel saying this. Amar of Menashe Bazvid Amar Rav, that Rav says the same thing. Leishonar al Shasachar Be'edim. Our Mishnah is only talking about when he hired him in the presence of Edim. Aval Sachar Shalai Be'edim, but if he hired him not in the presence of Edim, Mitech She Yachalayim Ala Lois Chartichim Arilam. Since he has a migri, he could have said, I never hired you, Yachalayim Ala Lois Chartichim Arilam, Ala Chatzkarcha. Instead, he could say, I did hire you, but I gave you your pay. But now, a little discussion on this. Amar Rami Bachoma, Kamamalya Hoshmaita. So Rami Bachoma says, how wonderful is this teaching? This that we said, this that Rav and Shmuel are saying, this is a tremendously important din.
Because
this concept that he has a migri like this. Amalei Rava Mai Mal Yosef. However, Rava says to him, what's the greatness of it? As a matter of fact, if you learn it that way, then you have a problem. Then if you're going to argue that you have a nigger like that, how do you ever have the case where the Torah says that a shomer has to swear that the thing was lost or stolen or what have you? How would it work? You could say the same thing. Given that the shomer is able to say, he has a migri to say that it never happened, you never gave me the thing, shouldn't we believe him without a shvua to say nansu? So it can't be such a wonderful thing. It comes to that conclusion. Now, before we continue with the discussion, by the way, so the obvious question is, Rava knows there's such a thing as migri. We have migri from beginning to end of Shas. Why is he even asking the question in the first place? So the Rishonim have two major approaches what we're dealing with over here. Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim talk about that. Over here we have, the situation is, the migri we're talking about over here is a little bit of a weak migri in the sense that it's true. Fine, the Balabas could say, I never hired you. However, that would be called migri d'ha'aza. It would require him to be more chutzpahdik, brazenly lie to the guy's face and say, I never hired you, when the other guy knows perfectly well that he did. We would, Rava is arguing, therefore, we can't necessarily say such a migri, the same way as you don't say by shomrim, the same way as you don't say migri d'ha'aza by shomrim.
That's why he's arguing.
So that's why he's arguing. He's not arguing about the general concept of migri. He's arguing, how can you do a migri d'ha'aza like this? Where the,
it's not
the,
about
the,
a migri,
the he's arguing it's too weak a migri to accept. Yeah.
That's the only one arguing on that.
Well, that's what. Yeah. The other argument, that's one understanding of what Rava's problem is. The other understanding, which is the Rimigashes, is Rava is saying, fine, I can accept that a migri pasters a person from paying. I cannot accept that a migri should pater a person from taking a shavua. Over here, you want to say that there's not going to be a shavua because he has this migri. How can a migri have the power to do that? If it had the power to do that, it should work by shomerim, and we see it doesn't. Obviously, a migri does not prevent a shavua happening. It just means that you want to pay. So that's why he's arguing.
So,
let's finish the discussion. But the point is, so far, Rava is asking, if you, Rami Bachama, are saying we can deduce from what Rav and Shmuel are saying over here how far a migri goes, but in that case, what are you doing with the shomrim? How do you apply that migri in the case over there? Okay.
He would not agree that in the case of migri aza, you could not take it?
That's one argument, is he would argue that a migri d'ha'aza is not a valid migri. A migri would have to be where your other claim could have made a better
credible
claim. It's true. It would have been a credible claim. But it's not something where you're brazenly lying to the guy's face about something that he knows is not true.
Right.
Okay. So the answer is Dafka by the Aiden. Fine. Rami Bar Chama could answer that the case of Shvurth HaShomrim is where you gave him the Pekadim in the presence of Aiden. So then there's no Migra. You can't say, I never took it from you, because you have Aiden. Okay, the question is, fine, but still, the Aedim only saw him give it to him in the first place. They didn't see him whether he returned it or not. He should have a migui, according to Rami Bachama's logic, to say that I returned it to you, and therefore you should be able to say Nanzu, and not have to swear. The answer is, the Afgad led to Shtara.
They didn't
see it returning. Yeah.
So he could say what?
So he could say that I returned it already.
What?
So the answer is, the Afgad led to Shtara. Okay, so you would have to say that the specific case where the Torah is saying that the Shomer has to swear would be where his mafkid him with a shtar. So then he has a valid claim. You can't say you returned it to me, then you should have taken your shtar.
And he's no migur.
Exactly the point. Only in that case would there be no migur.
Right.
So the Gemara says Miklal, obviously then the implication to Tavai was Sevir Lahu, obviously then both Rami Bachama and Rava do agree with the essential point, which is Hamafkid Eitzah Chaber Be'edim Ein Sarach La'achzol Be'edim. It is true that if you give a pekodin to somebody with Edim, you don't have to return it in the presence of Edim. Therefore, we could conceivably argue that he has that migri. On the other hand, the shtar Sarach La'achzol Be'edim. On the other hand, if it involves a shtar, then he does have to return it to him in the presence of Edim, because otherwise, as long as he has the shtar, then that's evidence that it wasn't returned.
And once you give it back, that's it.
Right. Now, the real question is, Rishonim say, so based on this whole discussion, it would come out then, if we accept Rami Bahama's idea, it would come out that we would have to, because Rami Bahama is talking about what Rav and Shmuel are saying about this din of the Balabas and the Sacher. So are you telling me that whenever throughout Shas we talk about a Shomer swearing only means it was given to him in the presence of Edom or Shtar or whatever? We never find such a thing anywhere in Shas. So therefore they answer that no. Rava's point is, you, Rami Bar Chama, are trying to deduce from this a general rule that can apply to Migros elsewhere in Shas. I can't accept that because it wouldn't work by Shomer, for example. However, we can agree that when it comes to this case over here of the Balabas and the Sacher, because after all, the Balabas does have a migri. It may be a weak migri. It's a migri to Ha'aza. Nevertheless, it's strong enough to prevent the Sacher from swearing. That would be the point. We're making an exception over here and saying usually such a migri would not be strong enough to prevent a Shavura or anything else, because the migri to Ha'aza would take tremendous chutzpah on the guy's part to make such a claim that I never hired you or I never gave you the Pekadin or what have you. But over here, when we're talking about the Balabas and the worker, there even such a weak migri is acceptable.
What's the difference?
The difference is
there also.
No, because over here specifically, that's what we're saying. Over here,
we're saying again,
because on the basis of what we're saying before, the fact that usually the Balabas is not going to be over on Bal Tolin, and that the Sacher usually demands his pay right away, and that and all these considerations that we mentioned before, because of that, if therefore the Balabas didn't hire him in the presence of Edom in the first place, where therefore he has this migri, even though it's a weak migri, we'll accept it and not have the Sacher take his shvur.
Yeah, I understand.
But only in that case.
But why only in that case if you would have?
Because in the case of the worker, we have specific considerations that we don't have by the cotton, for example. Again, we have the fact that the worker usually demands his pay right away, the fact that the Balabas isn't going to be over on Bal Tolin, etc. And because of all of that, therefore, we're not going to have the Sacher swear unless there's no other alternative. If we have an alternative, even though that alternative is a weak migri, nevertheless, that's good enough. Okay, continues the Gemara. Kari Rami Bar Chama Alei Derav Sheshet. Rami Bar Chama referred the following pasuk about Rav Sheshet that we're going to see, now in the next piece of Gemara, that Rav Sheshet gets into this to figure out what the din would be in these cases involving Sacher. That David placed these words in his heart, in other words, he took seriously what was being said, the same way as we're going to see that Rav Sheshet takes seriously what we're discussing and trying to find an answer to it. No, not that we shouldn't believe, but Rami Bahama is pointing out, look at Rav Sheshet, that he's so involved in this, that he, even though he wasn't even involved in the whole discussion before, which actually that's an explanation I saw. Why is the Gemara bringing this in more than any other place? Because usually you have the Tanoim, or not Tanoim, the Amoraim, who are involved in the discussion are usually the ones who bring the arguments pro and con. feud of Sheshes had nothing to do with this whole discussion so far, but he involved himself in it to try and get to the bottom of it. Therefore, like you have in the story with David over there, where other people are talking in his presence about him, granted, but still, other people are talking in his presence, and he took it to heart and took steps about it. The actual case over there was the first time that David ran away from Shaul to the king of Gath. And then the courtiers over there start saying, "Hey, this is David who killed Goliath. We should get back at him." And then David made him pretended to be crazy. Well, David Rishonoi says, "Time of the Navi Melech." That we say every Shabbos comes from that story. So he pretended to be crazy. So the Rishonoi says, "Time" means he changed his advice. He pretended to be a crazy person. So the context is by Yotham David Asadvarim Eibeliba that David put these matters to heart, even though they weren't talking directly to him, in the same way as Rav Sheshes took to heart this that we're discussing over here and got involved in it, even though he wasn't involved before. What is it? Where do we see? The Ashkechet of Sheshes with Rav Shmuel. We find that Rav Sheshes one time met Rav Shmuel, Omale, and he says to him, "Toni ma'am midi besacher, have you learned anything, have you learned any new din, any chidush as far as the dinim of Sacher?" Omale ain, and Rav Shmuel,
he was coming from the Mishnah,
I guess, yeah. And he says, "Ain, yes, Tanena, we've learned a brisa, which we learned at the top of the, which we learned before, Sochib is mana and nishba v'noitel, that, well, we learned part of it before, Sochib is mana and nishba v'noitel, a socher during his time, again, during that 12 hours after he finished the work, when he's doing the, which is supposed to be the time when he's collecting, nishba v'noitel, he can swear and he can collect his money. Kesad, when is that? Bizman sh'omolei skartani v'lenasati v'skari, when the worker says, you hired me, but you didn't pay me. The other one says, I did hire you, but I already paid you. Aval Omalai, and here's the part we quoted at the top of the Amud. Aval Omalai, Shtayim Kasafsali, but if it's a case where the worker says, you agreed to pay me two, and the other one says, I only agreed to pay you one, then Hamoitzi Mechaver Lavaraya. So then we say, Hamoitzi Mechaver Lavaraya, and he would have to bring proof that he was actually promised two. Now, what's the point of bringing in this brisa? Hob de sefer beraya. So, given that the sefer involves where you have to bring a proof, we have to bring edim. Hob de sefer beraya. Given that the sefer, the second case of the two versus one, we're saying hamotzi mechaver l'raya is to bring proof. Reisha b'loy raya. Evidently, the reisha must be talking about. There's no raya. There's no edim, even that he was hired. So how does that fit with what Rav and Shmuel are saying, that if there's no Edim, then the Balabas has a Migri? Amr of Nachmei, it's called Reisha V'Sefer B'Raya. No, both parts of the Braisa are talking about that there is a Raya. The difference is, the Reisha didn't bother mentioning a Raya, because Raya B'Lashalim Katani, the Braisa only wants to tell us the kind of proof that will actually get him paid. Raya B'Shvuel Katani, he's not just talking about the kind of Raya that only makes that now he can swear, and then if he swears, then he collects. That the Braisa is not bothering to mention. So in the sefer, think of the first case of the Braisa. If we accept Rav and Shmuel's position, that when is the socher entitled to swear? Only if he has edim that he was hired. Well then, what does it mean? He brings a raya. That raya, those edim themselves are not enough to get him his pay, because the other guy is still saying, fine, I agree I hired you, but I claim I already paid you. He still needs to take a shvuah in order to be paid. So his edim are not directly getting him paid. It's an indirect thing. Without the edim, he has no case at all. As opposed to the sefer, the edim are actually getting him paid. That's the point. As opposed to the sefer, all he needs is edim that he was promised two, and that's it. He can collect two. That's the difference, Rav Nachman says. That is why the braisa, the first part of the braisa, doesn't bother mentioning the raya, because the raya itself is not getting him paid. But if that doesn't prove that in the ratio of the braisa he wouldn't need a raya, we still could say the braisa is implying he needs a raya, which would fit with what Rav and Shmuel say. Yeah. Okay, so let's try to go a little further. If you're able to. It's related. We're going to quote that braisa before about the Shayim and the Achas. So we're going to continue more on this topic of Sacher Nishba V'Noitel. They sent a question from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel. Rav Shmuel Gaon tells us that Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years. We find a Gemara in Cholin that mentions Shmuel outliving Rav. Rav Shmuel Gaon tells us he outlived him for 7 years. So during that time, the members of Rav Yeshiva would send their shaylos to Shmuel. This is one of them. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. Let our, our, let our Rebbe teach us. In a case where Uman Omer Stein's a factory, so again, the craftsman claims that you promised to pay me two. The other one says, we only agreed that I'm going to pay you one. Me Nishva, which one of them would be the one to swear? Amalahen, so Shmuel answers them, Bezu Yeshava Balabayis Viafted Uman. In this case, that is a case where we would say the Balabas swears and the Uman is going to lose the extra, is going to lose the extra Zuz. Because Fitzavada Mitko Dekiri Inshi, because like we said before, people are expected to remember the amount that they agreed on, and therefore we can't say the usual thing, like we said before, that the Balabayis has totered the Parla, that he's busy with his workers. No, this kind of thing we expect him to remember, and therefore it's an ordinary case where he's Mojib Mixas, and therefore he can swear and be Potter. There is actually a bit of a machlokas between the Rimi Gash and the Rif, and a number of other Rishonim, about, are we talking about over here where he really is Modiv Mixas, or could we even be talking about a case, for example, where he said, a case of Halach, for example, where he says, I agreed to pay you only one, and here it is. Where we learned before, that Halach is not Modiv Mixas. No, we didn't talk about an Gemara, we talked about another Gemara, that's the thing. So you have a Machlokas. Are we saying this din over here of Shmuel would apply either way, whether he says, I only owe you one and I haven't paid it to you yet, or even if he says, I owe you one and Halach. So the question is, Aini, is that so, that the Balabas would swear? V'atoni Rabba Bashmul, didn't we say in Rabba Bashmul's Braisa, Kotat, we said that if they agreed on a price, that he has to bring an actual proof, he has to bring Aidim. The Eli might
say he would swear.
Shmuel is saying he would swear, but the Braisa says he has to bring proof, Aidim. The Eli might see Raya Paka, and if he doesn't bring a Raya, then the whole thing falls apart. He doesn't get anything. Why is Shmuel saying that the Balabas should swear and the Uman loses that extra zuz instead of the Uman instead of telling the Uman you have to bring proof? Rav Nachman says, right, what the Braisa means is the Braisa is summarizing two cases together. It means Oy maybe Raya v'yito. It means either Hamotzi Mechavel or Raya. The Sadin Katani means it's talking two different sides, two different possibilities, two different possible ways that it could happen. Or maybe Raya v'yito. Either the Uman will bring proof that he actually was promised two, and then he'll collect two. Oh, Yeshua Balabas, we asked the Uman, or the Balabas is going to swear that he only owed one, and then he only owes the one.
Or he brings the proof.
Either the Uman is going to bring the proof that he's going to bring an actual aid,
and then he gets the
aid game rather, and then he gets the two, right. Or the Balabas is going to swear and then he only collects the one. That's the question. I mean, if we tell the Uman, do you have any aid? If he says I have aid, good, bring him. If not, then we'll tell the Balabas to swear yet. Okay. So the question is, Macy, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. Another Bryce says, Hanoisim Talisil Uman, if a person gives his talus to a craftsman, Uman Omer Atakasat Salishtaim, the Uman claims that you promised to pay me two for fixing it or dry cleaning it or whatever, and the other one says, I only agreed to pay you one. So the din is like this: Kol Mancha Talus Biad Uman. As long as the talus is in the craftsman's hands, as long as it's at the dry cleaners, Al Balabayis Mahaviraya, then it will be up to the Balabayis to bring proof that he agreed to only pay one. Otherwise, the Uman can hold on to it until he gets his two. Nosnaloi, if the craftsman returned it to him, then Bismano Nishba Venotil. So then it depends. If it's during the deadline that we discussed before, then he can swear and collect, as is the usual way. Ovazmane Hamoitz Machavel Avaraya. After the time, then Hamoitz Machavel Avaraya has to bring proof.
The
question is, Bismano via Nishba Venotil. So we're saying that, at any rate, we're saying that Bismano he can swear and collect. Amai, Yeshava Balabayis Viafted Uman. Shouldn't it be like in the previous? Like, shouldn't what happened to what Shmuel was saying, that the Balabas is going to swear and the Uman is going to lose out the extra zuz? Amar Rav Nachman, it's Chakamani Rav Yehuda. Yes, but this Braita goes according to Rav Yehuda. Domo calls man sheshvur noita etz Balabayis. Rav Yehuda says that as long as the shvur was going to have to be noita, was going to be leaning towards the Balabayis, meaning in a case where normally the Balabayis would have to swear, in these kinds of cases, Sacher Nishba V'Noitel. In these cases is where the Sacher swears and collects, is where the sucker swears and collects.
If?
Rabbi Yehuda specifically says, any case where the Baal HaBos would have to swear, instead what we do is we take that Shavua and impose it on the sucker. So therefore, that would be the case over here. However, the question is, hey, Rabbi Yehuda, which statement of Rabbi Yehuda are you referring to? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda de Masnissin, are you talking about Rabbi Yehuda's statement in Arm Mishnah, where in Arm Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said that if the Baal HaBos denies the whole thing, he says, I paid already the whole thing, then he doesn't have to, then there's no Shavua at all. Only if he says, I only paid you part of it, would he have to swear? The problem with that is, Achmuri Kamachmer. But in Arm Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is being Machmer on the socher, on the worker. That Rabbi Yehuda is saying that a case like that, we're not going to make the socher swear and collect. Instead, at most, we're going to make the Baal HaBos swear, a shor hesed, and make him potter. Which, by the way, actually, it's not so simple it's not so simple. Rashi mentions over here that we're talking about a shor hesed, but Rishonim asked, didn't we say before in the previous pedic, we said a shor hesed only came out in the times of the Gemara. But they talk about that maybe Rashi means that there were different stages in Shavuot Hesed. There were cases where the Chachamim made it in specific cases already in the time of the Mishnah, and then Rav Nachman came and broadened it to all cases where that would otherwise not be covered by a Shavuot.
Would it make a difference?
Not really. It's just a difference of what it means. How the Shavuot comes, how it comes to be that he's swearing if he's Kofar Hakol. Okay. Anyway, so in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is being Machmir. On the worker. It's an honor, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm achitesham mikvah seidah. Rabbi Yehuda says the only case where we're going to give the socher the kula, where he can swear and collect, is where there's a motive of mitzvah on the part of the Baal HaBos. So therefore, why would Rabbi Yehuda in this braisa be saying that bisman in mishpah v'noitzel, that during the period of time of when the worker is expected to be paid, that he can swear and collect? Well, no, there is. I mean, because there's Shayim versus Achas. Fine, because you're saying as long as the talus is in the woman's hand, the Baal HaBos has to bring the proof. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're more machmir. Not in that case of the Baal HaBos bringing the raya. We said that if he gave it to him, this mana nishma v'noit, so an over is mana hamoit machavel of a raya. So we're asking, he gave it back to the Baal HaBos. If he gave it back to the Baal HaBos. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah that only if you have moed of mitzvah is the
right.
Worker swearing,
right.
But that doesn't really fit with our braisa, where the braisa is saying that the woman has a case where the Baal HaBos is going to be the one who has to bring the raya, namely if he still has the talus in his possession.
Yes,
that doesn't seem to fit with what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah.
In the Mishnah we talked about the das mitzvah. We didn't talk about whether or not the Baal HaBos had it in his possession or not. Why doesn't it fit?
Because the same way as Rabbi Yehuda is saying in our Mishnah that the socher, we're not giving the socher a break, we're only giving him a break for the motive mitzvah. If it's kofar hakol, then there's no shavua.
Right.
By the same way, in our braisa, he shouldn't be making a distinction between whether the woman still has the talus or not. Either way, he should say that if there's motive mitzvah,
yeah.
then the socher swears, and if not, here we're saying that if the talus is still in the woman's hand, we're not going to tell the woman to swear. We're going to tell the Baal HaBos to bring a proof, and otherwise he forfeits it. The Mishnah didn't mention it. Rather, we should have to say that if we're going to say it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the braisa. Now we're going to see. The Gemara is going to ask soon. Now, aren't they contradictory?
In a different braisa,
which then afterwards the Gemara is going to reconcile how Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in our Mishnah fits with the one in this last braisa, but we'll get to that.
Okay. I think we should.
Yeah, we're going to get to the two dots. Yeah, we'll finish in another 5 minutes. Okay. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, socher called manshalay olav zmanay, we learn in a braisa that a hired worker, as long as the deadline
that's
is not passed.
A new braisa.
A socher, as long as the deadline is not passed, how does a nishba v'noitzel, he can swear and collect his pay, like we said in our Mishnah. The imlav ain't a nishba v'noitzel, but if not, if that time has not passed yet, if during the time when it's during that deadline, then
if
he
it
just,
is passed, no?
No. If the time has not passed, then it's im lav, but if not, meaning the time has not passed yet, ain't an ishbev anoitel. Then he can't yet swear and collect. He can only at the end of that time. But Amar Rav Yehuda Eimas Dai. Rav Yehuda says, when does that apply? His man shomalei ten mitzkari chamishin dinner sheyesh li biyachah. Only if he says, give me my pay, the 50 dinner that you owe me. Vu emet kavalt man dinner zav. He says that you already received a gold dinner, 25 of it. Or a case where they're arguing about how much they agreed on, where he says, you agreed to pay me 2 per hour, and the other says, I only agreed to pay you 1 per hour. But if he said, I never hired you, or he says, I did hire you, but I already paid you, then we say, I'm going to have a liar. So then, Hamoitzim Achavel Avraya. So that fits exactly with what we said in the Braisa, because in the Braisa about the talus, because in the Braisa about the talus, where the talus is still by the Oman, the time for payment hasn't come yet. Okay. So therefore, there's no swearing. There's Hamoitzim Achavel Avraya.
That's the way we see the Braisa.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Fine.
Okay. So that explains it. So that Braisa about the talus is according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel's statement. It's according to the Chachamim. So no contradiction. However, the problem with that is, how do we reconcile what Rabbi Yehuda is saying? Mas before of Sheshes Brei Rabbi, Ela Kosaf Rabbi Yehuda Hivloi Rabbanan. So what are you telling me then? That the Braisa about the Kosaf, about where they determine an amount to pay, where we said Amotim Chavel Avaraya, are you telling me that would be only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to the Rabbanan? Hashta Hechi the Machmir Rabbi Yehuda Metzili Rabbanan. We see in our Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir on the worker. And then a bonon on Mekel, where they allow him to swear even when the other guy was kofer hakol. Hecha the Mekel Rabbi Yehuda machmir Rabbanon. Are you going to say that where Rabbi Yehuda is Mekel and the Rabbanon should all of a sudden be machmir?
Why are we saying that he's machmir?
Because we're saying in the Mishnah he's machmir, because he's saying the worker could only swear if it was more than Mekel. And here in the case of Kosat, we'd be saying the Rava Bar Shmuel's Braisa would be saying a blanket statement that we said before that with Dodin Katani, we said that the worker has to bring a proof and collect, or the Balabas swears and the worker loses an extra amount. There is motive mitzvah because 2 versus 1. But the point is if we say that Braisa is according to the Chachamim, then they're being machmir. They're saying there's no case where the worker can swear. Either the worker has to bring a proof, he has to bring edim, or the balabas swears and becomes potter. But there we say they're being machmir over Rabbi Yehuda. So if you're going to say that Braisa about the talus is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and then the other one is according to the chamim, then they're being more machmir on him. Where in our Mishnah, they're being more makel than him. Okay, the elamai rabbanon. So what are you going to say after all? The Braisa about the talus is according to the rabbanon. The Elah had the Tony Rabbi Bashmul cost us a motion of Chavel Avaraya. So what are you going to do with Rabbi Bashmul's Braisa? Where we said a motion of Chavel Avaraya, there's no Shavua on the worker's part. There's either Edim on the worker's part or Shavua on the Balabas's part. Mani, then who would that be like? Leir Rabbi Yehuda, Leir Rabbanan. Then that would be like neither one of them. So that doesn't work either. Elah Amar Rabbi Bahakamifri. Now, Rabbi says the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is on the following point. The Braisa about Kosa... The Braisa about the talus is indeed according to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that sometimes the worker will swear, sometimes the balabas has to bring a proof,
depending on who
has the talus and whether it's before or after the time. The Braisa where we said Kosa, where the Braisa that Rabbi Bashmur brought, that said that either, that there's no Shavua on the Socher's part, either the balabas swears and his potter, or the sucker has to bring a proof, that would be according to the Rabban. So what's the machlokas? How is it that the Rabbanon are flipping around where there's more maple?
Because
it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, because then Rabbi Yehuda would be self-contradictory.
Right.
So then we're asking the question, it can't be, because why would the Rabbanon be more maple in our Mishnah and be more machmir in this place?
Okay. Right.
The reason is like this. Mahakam Mitzvah, the machlokas between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah has nothing to do with being machmir or being makel. Rabbi Yehuda saw the deraisa agalei takantel sofer. Rabbi Yehuda holds like this: when it comes, when there was going to be a shavua deraisa, then the chachamim make a takana on behalf of the sofer And they say, instead of this shvua that the Balabas Bas should have sworn because he's a Moed of Mitzvah, instead we're going to put that shvua on the Socher instead so that he can collect it. So therefore, so that would work. But with the Rabbanon, but to apply it to a new shvua, the Rabbanon, shvua tesis, the Rabbanon, that we should say that if the Balabas was kofer hakol, that we should say that we're going to invent a new shvua and then put it on the Socher, have a takanta, then that would be a takana on top of a takana. The takana will takana lay of dinner. We don't put one takana on top of another. But if we're going to invent a new shavua, then it would have to be on the balabas. If you're saying it's only going to be a shavua on the sofer, it can only be because the shavua daraisa. What would be a shavua daraisa? Moedim mitzvah. Therefore, it must be moedim mitzvah. V'rabbanon sabri, v'rabbanon nami avdin in takanta l'sakir. V'rabbanon in our Mishnah hold that even when it comes to a shavua v'rabbanon, we will make a takana on behalf of the sakir. Because they say it's not really on top of a takana, they hold it's one big takana. But the chachamim made to begin with takana, that when the sakir is claiming his pay, toich mane, and with the other considerations that we said before, then we automatically put the shavua on him. There's no shavua that was going to be on the balabas, and then we move it to him. The shavua is to begin with placed on him, whether the other guy is moed of mitzvah or whether he's kofer hakol. Uktzitza mitka docher. And on the other hand, when it comes to the case of kostas that we said before, when they agreed on a price and now they're arguing how much they agreed on, that's when we say we expect the person to remember, and therefore we apply the usual rule that the balabas should swear being a kofer hakol, that the balabas should swear, and yeah, because that you can't say is not totally right. And that's when we say that the usual rules apply, that the balabas is going to swear and be false.
So the conclusion is
that we're not dealing with Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim make all those with each other. We're saying that in our Mishnah, it's not a question of Chumrah and Kula. It's a question, what are we considering? Are we considering the fact that the Socher is swearing instead of the Balabas? Is that a Takana on top of the Takana? Or is it all one big Takana?
We're saying no.
So the Chachamim holds one big Takana. Therefore, it can apply whether it's Kofer Hakol, which would be only a Shavua Zirabanan, or whether it's Moedim Mitzvah, which would have been a Shavua Daraisa, which now we're putting on the Socher instead. And Rabbi Yehuda holds not like that. Whereas when it comes, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that only when it's a Shavua Daraisa that we can flip. We can't take a Shavua Zirabanan from one and flip it to the other. That would be Takana on top of the Takana. As far as Kofer, what we're saying is Rabbi Yehuda would say that when it comes to fixing a price, we would say that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying there are cases where, because it is Moedim Mitzvah after all, he says I only owe you one, and the other guy says you owe me two, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, fine, Moedim Mitzvah, the usual rule, we'll apply the Takana, therefore, that the Socher will swear. Whereas in Abanon hold, no, that's a separate case, because that's not a regular case of a Socher, that's the kind of case where we expect the Balabas to remember how much they actually agreed on, and therefore he can swear. As opposed to the case of a regular soccer, where Toter and Koyalov, where he's busy with his workers, and therefore he's not able to remember.
That's